GNC 571. It's Thursday, April 29th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Yep, last show here in Texas, folks, then I'll be headed back to Honolulu for just 24 hours. Talk about that here in just a second. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from Central Texas via the portable Geek News Central studio overlooking Central Texas. That was kind of like a double whammy, wasn't it? Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcasts available via the podcast link on the website. Get signed up for our newsletter so that you don't miss a single episode of the show's show notes, except for last show, because I forgot to send it. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. And of course, all of you that are longtime subscribers, thanks for being here, being part of the Ohana. And of course, if you're checking out the show for the very first time, if you've come over from the FTA show, we appreciate you joining us tonight and or subscribing, however you may have found the show. Welcome to the podcast. Well, I tell you, it's been a crazy week here in Texas. I thought I was going to have more time in Austin, and I actually got a call by a couple of listeners midday Monday wanting to get together, and really, I had to skedaddle. About 5 o'clock, I left Austin, went to Houston, had all-day meetings in Houston, went back up to Waco, then I went, basically, I ended up here back in my original starting point, and then I'm going back to Dallas in the morning. And, oh my gosh, it has been a very, very busy week. I'm going to try, we're going to have a meetup tomorrow night or Friday night in Dallas. I should be up there mid-morning or a little bit after lunchtime. I have a couple of phone conferences I have to participate in with some folks back on the West Coast. So I'll be talking to them probably for about an hour. But after that, it's just basically going to be TGIF Fridays, and we'll meet up. Basically, if you want to meet up, all you got to do is call a cell, and I'll let you know, or text me. 808-741-4923 is the cell, and you can text me anytime, and I'll let you know where we're going to meet up. Probably try to do it relatively early because it's a Friday night, so let's try to plan 6 p.m.-ish so to do something. I've got a pretty early flight out of DFW in the morning to Honolulu. I get into Hawaii, I guess, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I have about 27 hours on the ground before I hop right back on a jet airplane and head to Albuquerque. And so I should be back in Albuquerque on Monday mid-morning, I guess. And I'm glad tonight I am actually recording on the backup recorder, because I can see Adobe Edition is chopping a little bit. Had not used this within the system, but figured out that I could actually patch it in along with everything else. I've been doing a little playing around in the evenings with the audio system, primarily the system that actually records the video portion or streams the stuff out to Ustream, because I really had an issue with the last show's video encode. Went out to the forums on VidBlaster and said, okay, here's the problems I'm having. Help me. So let's see if we can get this fixed so that I don't have to. I'm going to try to bring this forefront, and hopefully that will solve it a little bit. get this fixed so I don't lose any more videos going up to YouTube and Ustream and everywhere else where I blip and wherever I submit those. So they gave me some ideas, and we'll try that out tonight. But I'm running on a new version of the VidBlaster Studio software, version 1.6. So any of you that are up on Ustream, I'd love to hear your feedback and chat. I'll be coming up and looking at that from time to time tonight to see how that's working. But, yeah, we'll see how this audio recording turns out, but I definitely have a backup one way or the other. Let me go ahead to my regular comment stuff so I can move through tonight and we can get into the regular content. Of course, we're from 163 countries worldwide. And, again, if you're not subscribed to the show, please do so by going over to Geek News Central, and you'll find the links there for iTunes, Zune Marketplace, a regular standard RSS feed. However you want to consume the show, you can do it. There's a multitude of ways. Of course, you can find the show on your Roku box if you have a Roku, or on Boxy as well. So definitely check us out there. Talk to the folks at Travel at Ford, and I'm all set to fly out to Dearborn, Michigan on the evening of May 18th. I get in the afternoon of the 19th, and then we actually do the tour on the 20th. I plan on leaving the tour and immediately going to my mom's house, and we'll be staying there for 2 days. Then I'll be flying back to Honolulu on the 23rd. So I may be doing a Michigan meetup on Saturday the 21st in the evening in the Coldwater, Michigan area. So if you're interested, let me know. Definitely going to – and I don't know if we're going to be able to do one in Detroit, because I get in on the 19th, and then they have a thing for us that evening at the hotel we're staying at. So I don't know if there's potential to do something on the 19th, but that just gives you a heads up on the schedule. Again, two shows in Albuquerque next week, and then the trip to Dearborn a week and a half from now, or 2.5 weeks from now. So anyway, pretty good schedule for Texas. I mean, May is shot. I was looking at the calendar, and I was like, May is just going to, like, disappear. I'm not even going to, and we're not even into May yet. So that's the funny part. Hey, if you're a fan of the show, make sure you change your Wi-Fi SSID tag to geeknewscentral.com. And we want to appreciate those of you that do that. And, of course, we want to encourage those of you that feel that you love the show enough to support my salary replacement plan. Find a link to that in the second column of the website. You can donate $2, $5, $10, $20 a month, whatever you feel like makes you happy. Or a one-time contribution is nice as well. All right, let me go ahead and, of course, take care of a little business here. We're right here at the end of the month. Next show will be in May, of course. I thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the show. And, of course, if you are looking for a domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, whatever it may be, really, GoDaddy is the place to go. They have got the best online services available. I stand behind them. I use the products and services, have been for a very, very long time. I think I actually renewed, I think I told you about this in the last show, I renewed a stack of domains and saved a bunch of money using my own codes. But the main thing is, when you get to that checkout counter, don't forget your geek here at Geek News Central. By using the promo code GEEK, that'll save you $5 off on orders $20 or more. $5 off on $20 or more. Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Todd 20 will save you 20% on one-year shared hosting accounts. ComSale will get you $7.49 domains every day of the week. Aloha will save you $20 on orders $75 or more. So definitely check those promo codes out at Geek News Central. Use them over at GoDaddy.com. Share them with your friends, family members, people that you know that don't know. Don't put it up as graffiti. I don't want to get blamed for that. But definitely share my codes far and wide, and it's greatly appreciated. In your blog post, in your Twitter post, wherever you want to share them, share them. And it's all about using the codes, babies. As well as GoToMeeting, being a longtime sponsor here at the show. And that became an indispensable tool, really, this week as I was transiting between different places, sitting in airports, waiting for flights to go one place or another. And, you know, the ability to hold a meeting anytime, anywhere, any place is really absolutely essential in today's world. And you don't have to be in that person's office to have a meeting. You may be on business across the country and may need to dual task yourself somewhere else. Or you may be, maybe out with the wife shopping somewhere and have a meeting. Say, honey, I need to slip the car for 30 minutes. You fire your laptop up, stick your eVideo card or your get on a Wi-Fi connection, you know, get on your headset or use the headset within your computer. Get in an online meeting session, be able to show what you're showing on your screen to your client or so forth and back. And it really works. It really does. It's the only online meeting solution that consistently, time and time again, works and never fails. So get your free trial of GoToMeeting at GoToMeeting.com, a free 30-day trial, and it's only $49 a month. GoToMeeting.com/TechPodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/TechPodcast, again, for your free 30-day trial. Give it a run for the money, folks. Try it out. Let me know what you think. And if you hate it, email me that, too, and I'll send them some feedback on what you like, dislike, and so forth. But I know you're going to love it, so give it a try. Okay, what have we got going on here? Let me look at my list. Got a stack. Good stack of stuff to cover tonight. I have some voicemails at the end of the show. And Clint, apologize. I wasn't able to hook up with you in Houston. Mucho apologies. It just didn't work out. You know, I hadn't been to Houston. I don't remember being in Houston before. I've traveled in a lot of different cities, and I was pleasantly surprised. I was kind of up on the north, I guess for a better word, the northeastern. Was that the right best way to say that? Would it even be the north? Anyway, I was in the in around the area where there was Dell and some other companies. So it was pretty cool. Pretty cool area, but had a great time in Houston. So just wanted to tell him that, Clint that, before I get into the regular content. Let me go ahead and load this here and bring up the first article. Oh, I'm going to tell you, those of you along the Gulf Coast, those of you that live Louisiana, Florida, Georgia, all the states that are, not Georgia, Georgia, you guys, I apologize. It is not good. It is not good with this Gulf of Mexico spill by BP and that rig going down. You know, I just wish that the Coast Guard would have been able to just continue to burn this as it made it to the surface right out at the site. But this has all the makings of an absolute tragedy for the people in Louisiana, Florida. Oh, man, it's going to be bad. It really, really going to be bad. And so I guess, you know, we're just going to have to keep our eyes peeled on this. And I know they've mounted the forces up here, and I know the president's actually enacted some stuff. So has the governor's activated the National Guard, but I know we've got a number of fans that are down in those areas, and I hope they get a handle on this thing real quick. And what a disaster! But you know, it's this oil. People need oil to move their cars, and until we figure out a better way, this type, you know, this stuff is going to happen, and very devastating. And I just I feel really bad for you down in those coastal areas. Let's talk a little more about water, but water coming from space. Astronomers announced on Wednesday that they have detected water ice on the surface of an asteroid for the first time. This is a discovery that they feel may provide clues to the origins of Earth's oceans. They did some infrared observations of an asteroid 24, it was called 24 Themis, and they detected water, ice, and organic molecules evenly distributed across the asteroid's surface. And this was published in the current issue of Journal Nature. So I don't think this should become as a surprise to us at all that they have found ice on an asteroid. I think that water is more plentiful than what we think it is in the universe. So I have to see what more they determine on this, but it may lead a little more to the theory of of Earth being, you know, the theory that the Earth's oceans were filled or may even seeded by asteroids containing water. But it would have taken a heck of a lot of them, wouldn't it? I've noticed now, you know, of course, I get the room all set up perfect for when it's still daylight here. And, of course, the sun is down and the room is much darker right now. So hopefully the, I think it's just the actual computer dying down a little bit in intensity. Let me bring up the chat window. There we go. DJ, Night Vision, hey guys, welcome to the show. And how's the video tonight? Let me know. How's the video and audio working out? Appreciate it. The Russians have launched a Soyuz to the International Space Station. They've launched a Progress cargo spacecraft. And that took off on Wednesday night. The cargo ship called Progress 37 is scheduled to dock with the International Space Station on Saturday, and it's carrying about 2.5 tons of water, food, and supplies. A little more news on the science front. Chile has been selected for a giant telescope. European astronomers have picked a Chilean mountaintop as a future site of what will become the world's largest optical telescope. And I know that I think Hawaii was even under basically a candidate as well for this, but it looks like that Chile has been selected. So this is going to be a huge one, 42 meters. It's more than four times that of the Twin Keck Observatory Telescope, and it's going to be it's one of the most biggest ones in the world once it's done. But amazing. What we're going to don't have any time when they're going to start construction or so forth, or when it is due to be completed, but European astronomers have picked that location. Some news out of Sony, and of course, little stuff has been trickling out as well over the last week or so. We've kind of been expecting this. Sony is said to announce TVs with Intel, yes, dun dun dun, Intel chips inside them, and along with Google tools, in other words, probably running on Android. So, Sony's seen some major hits to its TV sales, primarily with competition from big box stores that are not carrying Sony TVs, or if they do, they're much underpriced by other competitors. And I think many of you probably have some of those sets in your home. But with them aiming to win back share loss to Samsung and LG, what they're going to be doing here is basically, as I have said, they're going to be putting in Google TV, for a better word, into their devices. And this is exciting stuff for all of us, because very rapidly, and I would say by the end of the year, every TV that's going to be manufactured will have some sort of over-the-top OTT, over-the-top TV system installed in their sets. Now the question will be whether or not they will be open, will be able to develop to them. That is yet to be seen. But with them doing this, and basically you're going to have Sony TVs will be able to, you know, pipe in your regular television signal, but also at the same time run Android and run apps on Android, or a version of Android. This is pretty exciting stuff. So we'll see what happens here and how this develops. But Sony, I guess, as I said, computers coming to a television set near you. It just makes sense. You know, if they're selling computers now in the size of basically a matchbox, why shouldn't they be included in our computers? Of course, the big announcement a couple of days ago, it was right after the last show, was HP announced a $1.2 billion acquisition of Palm. Everyone was excited. I don't know if I was excited or not. Were you guys excited? Be honest with you, I was kind of underwhelmed. Quite honestly, I think that the Palm platform is DOA. And I know that's probably going to upset some of you, but the Palm Pre, I wasn't super impressed. So what's going to happen now to the Pixie Plus and Pre? What are going to happen to those phones? What are they going to do? How is it going to affect Palm? This will HP will be able to revitalize the division. I'm surprised they paid $1.2 billion, to be honest with you. Seems like a lot. I think if HP would have waited a few more months, they probably could have got it at, fire sale prices. Let's be honest. I personally don't think that they have done a good job staying pace with everyone else. And they made some bad decisions, and only time will tell. But HP has a lot of work to do to figure out how this is going to integrate, if the cultures are going to match, and so forth. But I'd really love to hear you guys' feedback tonight on this article, and of course, any other articles in the show. And you can do that by sending me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. Or you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. That'll get you direct to me, and I'll cover your comments at the end of the show. We do have a couple of, one voicemail comment at the end of the show, plus some emails. So you definitely want to hang out to the end of the show for listener feedback. Steve Jobs today, he just couldn't help himself. He published some thoughts on Flash. Actually, a lot of thoughts on Flash. And it just reiterates some of the same exact talking points that Apple's been making for a while. They're saying, hey, Flash is not open. Is Apple open? They want to say that it's not a full web experience. It's so old using Flash. HTML5 and CSS and all the other things that are modern in the web. It's Flash is old business. That's what he's saying. But hate to say it, Mr. Jobs, a lot of us reply a lot on Flash for a lot of stuff we do. And HTML5 is not compatible with Internet Explorer yet, so can't leave those guys behind, or do we? Do you want us, I guess Steve just wants all of you to run out and spend big money buying an Apple. You load something on your iPhone and the website doesn't work. What are you going to do? You're going to eat the person that's got the website and complain? And it's just because of what phone you're using? Oh, I got to tell you guys about this. How many saw my Twitter post about my Mophie pack? DOA. You guys, I told you about this history, right? First one I had, the little connector back here, at this spot right here, for those of you on Ustream, broke. Okay? The number two unit I bought, because I couldn't find my receipt to send this back and get an RMA, or not this one, but the previous one, I went and bought another one, and it wouldn't charge. It wouldn't charge my phone. Well, I was able to take that one back and exchange it for this one, and I've had this now maybe 3 months. Yesterday, I noticed my phone was half charged during the day, and I said, what's going on? I had this thing on the charger all night, and I pressed the button, and I said, well, it must be I didn't have my plug in. Well, I came back to the room, and I put my cable in, and I knew instantly when I pushed it in. Let me go ahead and show you guys this. You guys see that on Ustream? See how that's wiggling? The stupid little jack inside this thing is a piece of junk. I am officially non-endorsing Mophie.com. Do not go out and buy this piece of trash. This is the biggest piece of trash in the whole space. Whoever designed this little button here, hey Mophie, whoever designed that right there, you need to take that guy, you need to fire him. You really, really do. Because I tell you what you did. Inside, what you did is you sealed that thing and you made it so the little contacts in there would touch the battery. What you should have done was made it so that would have free-floated no matter what. And what I'm pointing at, folks, is the power plug. Those of you that are on the audio show, you should have took that inside and you should have then taken it and wired it, a.k.a. with solder. Wired some wires to one end and wired some wires to the battery so that when this little piece of epoxy that was in there holding it in place perfectly, when it broke, it would still work. J-U-N-K. I encourage you guys to never, ever buy this product ever, ever again. I cannot say anything more bad about this. So, you heard it. It went in the trash can. Now, what am I supposed to buy to charge my phone? What am I supposed to buy for my phone? I'm not in the regular charger. I was halfway through my day, and it's, you know, it's recharged, but I can't go 8 hours using this phone normal. So please tell me what I have to buy. What is a good thing that's going to work that I'm not going to spend $80? $80 for that Mophie thing. And I was stupid enough to pay twice. Can you guys? What an idiot I am. Does Mophie just realize that I just told 150,000 people what a piece of crap their charger is? Love, hate, relationship. What should I buy, folks? Tell me what I need. I'll just go get it. What are you guys using? All right, I was talking about Steve Jobs and Flash. When I was talking about reliability, security, and performance, you know, they better screen their developers. Battery life, they say, because you're using Flash on the iPhone, you don't get much battery life. And Flash was only designed for those of us using a mouse and not using our fingers to touch something. And, of course, third-party tools and being locked into a vertical market. You know, who are they kidding over at Apple? This is not a walled garden. Oh, man. Amazing. So, anyway, Steve had his say on the on Flash, and I'm sure the folks at Flash will respond. Now, in a move of desperation, an absolute move. I mean, okay, many of you have a GPS on your phone right now, right? Some of you are using it to do navigation. Many of you have a Garmin in your car. Many of you have a TomTom. Many of you have a variety of different GPS systems to find your way around and not get lost. I have one myself. I have a Magellan GPS in my car. And that's when I'm on travel, how I get around. Apparently, the folks at TomTom are worried. And what they're going to be doing is they're looking to apps to fight off Google and Nokia. TomTom, in my car, I use it to get directions and drive around. Why in the world would I want to have that loaded with apps so that I can play with that and play apps? Isn't the TomTom supposed to be navigating me? TomTom has laid out plans for the company to embrace the App Store approach and offer apps to its customers by the end of the year. What is happening here is a break from the past. We have a great infrastructure, but in 2009, this is from TomTom, we decided it wasn't good enough moving forward, said Gajan. We decided to break the code and move on to new architecture, both on the device and the back end. They are scared to death. They know days are numbered. They know that as phones get better, people will no longer need another device to get themselves navigated. So what they're going to do is they're going to make the TomTom into an entertainment device for our vehicles. For those of you who have a Ford, you guys don't need that, right? You got Ford Sync. Those of you that have Chevys, don't you guys have OnStar and some features with that? Toyotas, if you've got a higher-end Toyota, they have navigation and entertainment systems. Okay, why do I need a TomTom in my car? Actually, how many of you think that name of that company is kind of funny? Anyway, going to put apps. So, do you think this is a good idea? Am I off base here? I'd love to hear your feedback, geeknews@gmail.com. Oh, I have to tell you another story. Wait till you guys hear this. I was going to put this in my earlier notes. It's story time with Todd tonight. As it is twice a week, right? Okay, you guys know that my wife has my Gen 1 jailbroke iPhone, right? The computer that I jailbroke it on is sitting on my wife's desk. It's the one she uses on a daily basis. So my son grabs her iPhone two nights ago, and she goes, "Mom, I'm going to sync your phone." My wife never syncs the phone. I sync her phone, okay? It's just one of those things. So he plugs it into his or one of the Macs that are they use for homework, and it comes up, and it recognizes it, and he starts clicking buttons. And somehow he gets to the point where he is able to load a new version of iPhone operating system onto my wife's jailbroke phone. She calls me in a dire panic at 5 o'clock in the morning her time. She says, "My phone says all I can dial is 911. Fix this. Honey, you have to fix this." And I'm like, "Honey, I can't. I have to be there to touch it." And, you know, I'm hearing this. This is 5 o'clock in the morning, Honolulu time. And I'm hearing this story. I'm hearing my wife going off on my son. "Why did you touch my phone? Why were you messing with it? Why, you know?" So it's, I'm, you know, and she's, "You talk to him." And, of course, she puts my son on the phone. And we have a very short conversation because I had already pre-warned him about not touching her phone and syncing it. But he's a geek. He's my little geek. You know, so he wanted to be geeky, and I can't blame the young man. So I have to, you know, play along a little bit here. So this is what is said when I get off the phone, when he gets off the phone. "Saturday, when you get home, we are going, and you are buying me a phone." Fellas, you know what the answer was? "Yes, dear." So I had to tell her how to take out the actual SIM card. And I told my son, "Give your mom your phone and pop your SIM card out and put your mother's in there." But, of course, half her address book is gone, and she starts freaking out because she can't get to her pictures. I'll be able to recover all this, of course, I think. I don't know. It might be gone. I did back up her phone recently, so it should be okay. But, oh, boy. When Daddy's away, things happen like this. So she wants a new phone. She doesn't care what kind of phone. She wants a... We're on T-Mobile with her. So what droid at T-Mobile is good? Or should I just bail on T-Mobile and go to Verizon? What's the droid I should get her if she doesn't want an iPhone? So those I'm going to rely on you guys to tell me what phone I should get her. You guys have to tell me in a hurry, all right, which one is to get her, and we'll hook her up. If she wants an iPhone, I'm buying her an iPhone on Saturday. But and we will be switching... to AT&T permanently, I guess. But that being said, T-Mobile has dropped their caps on their unlimited plans for their phones. Basically, they say that they're not going to charge you a 20 cents a meg for going over your 5 gig plan, but what they're going to do is they're going to throttle users if they exceed their 5 gig limit per month. They've also making some changes to their 200 meg monthly plan as well. So anyway, that's an announcement that was made by T-Mobile today. Which triggered me to tell you about the story about the iPhone. Now, along with the iPhone, there of course there still no tethering on AT&T because AT&T is still saying they have to wait on better networks. You know, how long didn't they tell us a year ago that tethering was coming? How long do we have to wait for tethering? You know, well, actually, it was mentioned as early as November 2008. I know that just rips most of you. So how long do you have to wait? That's the question to ask. All right, over at Gizmodo, and of course, I'm sure their legal defense fund is being used up right now over the iPhone version 4 incident. I wonder if they really wish they wouldn't have published that story now. We'll have more on that here in a few minutes. But have you guys heard about this crashing NASA space balloon? You got to watch this video. This is like the Keystone Cops. You guys know what the Keystone Cops are? If you don't know what the Keystone Cops are, if you're beyond the age of seeing Keystone Cop videos, just Google it and watch a few. You'll get the full the impact here of the what I'm trying to convey. But the Keystone Cops over in, I guess they were in Melbourne, Australia. NASA was trying to launch a space balloon that had this multi-million dollar telescope on it. And apparently they were having some wind shifts, so they were telling some bystanders and educators, hey, you got to move your cars. And they had this crane out there that was basically holding up the payload. And they, as you could see this, you know, the balloon, you know, already kind of up in the airways. And so I guess they had a wind shift about the time they cut the tether. And the space balloon crashed, took out an SUV. almost ran over the people. No clear indications of what the failure was, but the video is quite evident that they should have took a little bit more planning on their launch, on the launch, because they really blew it. I think you guys would get this SUV just gets hammered, gets totaled. Now, if you are a military pilot, here's a few warnings. Don't take your iPhone with you or any LCD crystal phone with you when you go flying and doing high G maneuvers. G's and LCD displays do not go good together. I have the picture up on Flickr. I think you'll be amused at the at what happened to the screen. Yeah. It's kind of interesting. 9 G's. This guy wasn't pulling 9 G's in his F-16. Sorry. He was pulling some G's, but he wasn't pulling. I can appease. All right. You guys know I spent a lot of time in hotels. I can officially say that if I wasn't on 3G and on my WiMAX connection here, it would be pretty bad. I wouldn't be streaming the show tonight. But there are some hotels that have pretty good Wi-Fi. And just a few of them are Andaz Hotels is a boutique brand. I'm sure we all can afford to stay there. That's a Hyatt property. I'm sure that comes with about a $800 a night price tag. Standard Hotels, it's they're calling it a sexy hotelier. Oh, it's one of those fancy words. It's probably North Carolina, New York City. In Raleigh, North Carolina. I don't know how much those places. Peninsula Hotel. That's another one that sounds a little pricey. Oh, here we go. Here's what most of us can afford. Holiday Inns has good Wi-Fi. And I've stayed in a Holiday Inn in Maryland. Did have pretty good Wi-Fi. And then smaller hotels generally have a better connectivity because maybe they've done it themselves and there's not as many people staying there. So anyway, there's a good link to this hotelchatter.com. And their best Wi-Fi hotels of 2010. How many of you have ever thought about the U.S. government requesting data being taken down or requesting data sets from Google? I really hadn't thought about that, but I guess that's something that happens quite a bit. Check this out. Brazil requested 3,663 times for data from Google. The United States did 3,580, and there's a whole list here. Removal requests, the leader of the pack was Brazil with 291 requests, Germany with 188, India 142, United States 123, South Korea 64. I don't see any of these countries on there that are considered evil of Axis. I get looking at the list here. I guess that they ask, they don't take them down. But it's just basically as a government request directed to Google and YouTube. Have the link up to you in the show notes. It gives you an idea, breakdown by country, on who has requested information, and they talk about the limitations that Google allows for takedowns and requests for info as well. All right, Wired has a good article about the individual who found and sold the iPhone. He regrets his mistake. Brian Hogan, a 21-year-old resident of Redwood City, California, said that although he was paid by tech site Gizmodo, he believed the payment was for, check this out, for allowing the site exclusive access to review the phone. Gizmodo emphasized to him that there was nothing wrong in sharing the phone with the tech press, according to his attorney, Jeffrey Bornstein. Hey, that attorney, he has definitely got the storyline going on good. I love the language in that statement, that he was paid by tech site Gizmodo for the review, exclusive access to the review. So does that mean that Brian still owns the phone? He only gave them access? Well, that's not what Gizmodo says. So I'm sure that language will be attentive to whatever police investigation is going on. All right, are you a media firm? Are you a McDonald's of the world? Are you a company that would like to buy ads on the mobile phone? Would you like to begin on Apple's iPhone platform? Well, Apple aims to charge close to $1 million. $1 million for ads on its mobile devices this year, and perhaps even more to be among the first, says ad executives. Apple's hitting the road to showcase its new mobile device advertising capability, dubbed iAd, and has indicated it could charge as much as $10 million to be part of a handful of marketers at the launch, according to a person familiar with the matter. Ad executives say they're used to paying between $100,000 and $200,000 for similar mobile deals. They're actually paying Apple to be on these, to have the right to be on. Did someone say payola? So if Todd wants to advertise on the iPhone for vendors, I have to pay Apple $1 million to write to do so? Huh. Isn't that interesting? The rich get richer, folks. All right, Facebook's high pressure tactics, opt in or else. This is a absolute stunning article by Read Write Web. If there is not an article in tonight's show that you don't go read, you have got to go read this one. We've already talked about the opt-in, where you have already been opted in on Facebook for your profile to be shared publicly, and how you have to opt out. But they essentially say, oh, if you don't want to opt in, we're going to remove all your profile information. For those who actually do consider the implications of everything about themselves being made public, they'll soon encounter another issue. Something that Lee, this is the executive at Facebook, didn't explain in the cheery blog post was what would happen if we refused to link to these new pages. Your profile information will be removed and your profile page will be left empty. According to the fact from Facebook's Help Center, if you don't want to connect to any pages, the corresponding sections on your profile will be empty. Connecting to pages will now be the main way to express yourself on your profile. And you can always edit your profile to remove specific suggested pages that you don't want to connect to. So what they've done here is, oh, you can opt out, but if you do, we're going to remove the information from your profile page. Wow. You know, some congressmen have asked Facebook to revise it to their system. I think Facebook is getting a little bit big for their britches. I don't get it. Is this affect you? Are you leaving Facebook? Does this make you angry enough to write a blog post or complain or Twitter about this? Or are you just going to roll over and accept it? What you guys going to do? I really want to hear from you. You guys got to read this article. If you don't read it, your mouths are going to drop open. You really are. Maybe you've already experienced it if you've opted out. All right, great arc over on BBC. 40 ways. I'm going to open up a browser here so I can see something else. Sorry for the interruption here. You know, let me take care. Let me give Dale, you're a mod. If you want to boot those guys, go ahead, okay? I just gave Dale mod on chat. Let me actually do it myself here. Ban. All right, that took care of them. All right. 40 ways we still use floppy disk. This is pretty interesting. Let me go into this. I'm an artist from London. I use floppy disks to produce my paintings. I tile them up as canvas. The personal information on each disk is forever locked onto the paint, but the labels are left as a clue. I use the circular hubs on the reverse for eyes. In the aviation industry, they're still used to update firmware on ticket printers. In Birmingham, I work for a natural high street-based business. We still use floppies in many sites for backups. Believe it or not, we're still running MS-DOS on most of our till systems. We go through hundreds, if not thousands, a year. Here's a individual from Delaware. I put handles on them and sell them as spatulas. I sell thousands of them a year. Matt out of Nara, Japan. I work with a lot of printing companies here in places that invented the floppy, and despite communicating with them via email, they insist on having final documents copies posted to them on a floppy. Why? Floppies are easy to mail, cheap and easily replaceable, and somehow give the impression of document security that email attachments don't. Ken out of London. I buy about 100,000 floppies per year. I have a business that makes them into drink mats, fridge magnets, and toast racks. Eric out of Copenhagen. As a telecom engineer, I have to add that there is still some test equipment out there that logs data only to floppy disk. The disk is such a pain to work with, but it's not like you can throw out a $330,000 piece of test equipment because you don't like the way it outputs its data. Eric, I know. Those of you that have ever worked with any HP test equipment, I know test equipment that's $250,000, and the only way to get data out of them is with a 3.5-inch floppy. I've had to send test equipment in and have it repaired because a floppy drive went out. Imagine that, $250,000 piece of test equipment that only has to be sent in like once every couple of years for a cal, yet the floppy goes in. You think of the repair bill for that, just to get the floppy replaced on $250,000 a piece of test equipment. But anyway, 40 great uses of the floppy. What do you guys use the floppy for? Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Hey, Google patches Chrome for the second time this month. Get your update now. Security is of an issue with it, so make sure you update if you haven't updated already. NASA claims that life on Mars is positively false. Despite recent media reports that NASA found evidence of life on Mars, the U.S. Space Agency says proof that we're not alone is still a ways off. Well, maybe that's a good thing. Of course, you know, what Stephen Hawking said the other day, we must avoid aliens at all costs because they will do nothing but come and eat us. I guess an article in the UK's The Sun newspaper was entitled NASA Evidence of Life on Mars. And it went into basically talking about how NASA had proof that there was life on Mars. And NASA says, no, not so fast. Although I think we're going to find some when we send a probe there that can actually find, do microscopic detail of samples put in. I'm sure we're going to find microbiological type of life on Mars. I would personally bet a lot of money that they will. A PC World. The jury is deadlocked over the charge in the vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin's email trial. The jury deliberating the fate of the man who allegedly accessed former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin's email account in 2008 is deadlocked on one of the four charges. And according to what I saw on TV, they are going to try again tomorrow. They've reached verdict on at least three of the items, but they're going to go back and see if they can figure out what to do with the fourth charge. Over on thecarconnection.com, Future Tech OLED breakthrough could provide cheap night vision for cars. Those of you that are buying Toyotas, Volvos, or BMWs that have night vision, you're probably paying as much as $4,000 for the system today. That's with a display. But they're thinking that now they're going to be able to print within about a year an organic, in other words, OLED type of film that would go over the top of your windshield. And it would basically, what's going to happen is instead of using heavy, bulky vacuum tubes found in conventional night vision devices, and that's really not true today either. You don't see military guys walk around with night vision goggles that have vacuum tubes. It's a little incorrect, a little incorrect on the tech side on this article. But what they're saying here is that the new thin film system uses layers of OLEDs to receive and convert infrared light into visible spectrum. It runs on much lower voltages, just 3 to 5 volts, making it more energy efficient as well. And the result is a monochromatic green-tinted view of the area in front of it. And I don't know if I would want to have a mono... You guys remember those green screens that we had back in the day before there was even... when we were still loading drums into computers and the screens were green? Imagine looking out your car and seeing that in front of you, but in IR. Not my idea of fun. Hey, we've got some real educated middle school principals out there, folks. They're hiring anybody these days. A middle school principal in Benjamin Franklin Middle School. What state was this in? They don't say. But anyway, he says, and this is a quote, "It's time for every single member of the BF community to take a stand. There is absolutely no reason for any middle school student to be part of a social networking site." Let me repeat that. There's absolutely, positively no reason for any middle school student to be part of a social networking site. None. And this is a letter he's to parents. "Please do the following. Sit down with your child," and they are just children, "and tell them that they are not allowed to be a member of any social networking site today. Let them know that you will, at some point, every week, be checking their text messages online. You have the ability to do this through your cell phone provider. Let them know that you'll be installing parental control software so you can tell every place they visit online." You know, who is this dude? Who is this guy? You know, I don't know about you guys, but I raise my kids the way I want to raise my kids. I don't need some educator telling me to have my children banned from Facebook. I monitor my children's activity. Their computers are not in their rooms. They're in a public area of the house where we can see what they're doing. I have passwords to log into their sites, so need be. And the boy has already been warned about the PO. He knows if I ever find an inkling of any hint that he has went to one of those sites, I'll lock the computer down so tight he'll only be able to go to PBS Kids. You know, mistakes are going to happen. They're going to wander into places that they shouldn't from time to time. But I am not going to tell my children that, you know, come on. I know everyone has a little bit different thought on this, and I respect everyone's own decision to do what they want to do. And what you do is your business and your business alone. But for this middle school principal to send this home is a bit of an overreaction and a little bit over the top. Love to hear what you guys think about this. If he'd have just sent a note, "Hey parents, maybe it's a good idea to talk to your kids about the dangers of Facebook or the dangers of talking with people online or the dangers of texting too much." Okay, that's in a newsletter is responsible, but you don't send this "I'm telling you to do this." All right, how many of you got the iPad 3G? How many of you have them delivered to your house today? Details. I think we already knew there'd be two options. But $14.99 a month for 250 megs of data, $29.99 for a month of unlimited data. If you go over your 250 megs of data in the month, they'll give you the option to restart your month by paying another $14.99. It just basically resets your clock. You don't have to renew. You don't have to pay for a plan. This is good. This is smart by folks, because there's going to be times where what I will do is I'll get a 3G and I'll get the $14.99 a month plan. There'll be months that I'll need to use it a lot. There'll be months that I won't. And when I do, I just, you know, pay as I go. So let me know how it works out, how your 3G iPads are working. Polaroid Lives, new camera uses real instant film. You are now able to, once again, take Polaroid pictures. The Polaroid 300 instant film is available. 10 color photographs come in every package. It's actually the PicTech 300. And welcome back, Polaroid, to giving us the ability to instantly print our pictures. The camera's $90, but the film costs $10 for 10 exposures. Whoo! I guess a dollar print was pretty standard for old Polaroids, but this is a fun camera. So this is, you know, aimed at some, you know, when you really need to take a picture to get it. So is it worth it? Is this just a fad item that people are going to buy nostalgia-wise? All right, we want to say congratulations. And who we want to say congratulations to is the Spirit Rover. The Spirit Rover is now the longest-running mission to the Red Planet, if it still lives. As you know, Spirit Rover basically quit communicating with NASA, I guess on, what date was it, a month or so ago, because they hadn't been able to get the rover position right to get as much sun as it normally would because of being stuck in the mud or in a sand trap because of two tires being broke, and really it's in its fixed position. But NASA is hoping to revive it. If it does revive, it will now be the longest running mission that has ever went to Mars, and outliving Voyager and everything else that happened with the NASA Viking probe, excuse me, which were the longest surviving missions on Mars. And of course, we have the other rover on the other side of the planet. If Spirit doesn't wake up, I'm sure what will happen is the other rover will overtake it and become the record holder. But pretty good bang for a buck on that one, right? Hey, how many of you got college students going to school? How many of you want to hit class or not? Well, students that are thinking about sleeping late at Northern Arizona University are in for a surprise, because they're going to install an electronic system that detects when each student with an ID card walks through the door to some large classroom. The system will produce an attendance report for the instructor. I think that ought to be mailed to mom and dad if they're paying the tuition. And the goal is to reduce the number of students who miss class or fall behind and drop out of school. And a growing body of research suggests that attendance is a key factor in class success, and that good grades can motivate students to remain in school. I agree. So, of course, probably after they're 18, you can't ask for their attendance reports. Good article on PC World about Windows 7's worst features. I didn't even go through and read this, but link will be up in the show notes for you to check out. All right, that's it. Don't you tonight. I do have, what did I push? Don't you do that to me. Okay. Got a voicemail here for you. We'll play that. And Clint, I didn't play yours because it was just basically contact info for you. But thanks for trying to reach out to me. And the next time I'm in the area, I promise we'll try to get together. Let me go ahead here and play the one that is in the system, and then we'll get into some emails. Again, if you have comments on tonight's shows, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365.
Hey, Todd, this is Richard from Georgia calling in regard to show 570, the iPad camera connection kit. That is available from Apple. That's an Apple product. It's in the Apple store, and the price is $29. It's about a 3 to 4 week delivery time right now. It's a very, very popular item. Just wanted to let you know, and enjoy your show. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. And yeah, I got a bunch of email from a number of people saying, hey, knucklehead, that's Apple's deal. So hopefully I'll be able to snag one somewhere and definitely check it out. Let's see if I can get my PC. I bet you this recording is trashed on the computer, because I'm sitting here pressing the button to load email, and it's just, I'm getting one of these. Oh, I have definitely got too much stuff going on in this. You know what happens? I bet you there's an instance of Firefox still running somewhere. All right. Okay, here we go. I got an email from, please download. I got an email here from Bill in Coastville, Pennsylvania. In case you didn't get a chance to follow Soichi yet on Twitter, here's another amazing photo from the International Space Station. Keep up the amazing work that you do. Bill, thanks for sending me those cool pictures. And basically what he was able to capture was the Progress rocket launch seen from the International Space Station. Pretty cool. I want to thank Craig for the link for the 40 ways we still use floppy disks. Thank you again tonight. I want to thank Keith. Keith sent me in his top Android apps. The first one is CGeo. It's a free geocaching app that works well. Number two is Act One Video Player. It's a pay app. I found works better than a stock video player. Number three is Open Home. It's a skin for the Android operating system, adding some functionality. Four is GWakeUp. It's a free ad-supported alarm app. And number five, 3Banana, note-taking app that has online backup of notes. I know you said five, but I have just a few more to list. And what I ought to do is put these all in a master list for you guys. I'll see if I can do that on a blog post. DPod is a podcast and vidcast client. Cool. It's a free one as well. How Long is a countdown app. KeePass Droid is the KeePass X version for Android. That's cool. I like KeePass X. Google Sky, this is a great app to just whip out and stargaze. Astrofile Browsing, free. It works great. And all of the preloaded apps. Sorry for the long list, but I'm also going to put together the widget favorites and send them your way. I do not trust to have my main password database on my phone, but I keep a few that I might need it close at hand. Thanks again for podcasting. Have a safe and wonderful trip. Sincerely, Keith out of. Guys, always got to tell me where you guys are from in your email notes, okay? Got an email from Craig in the UK. He says, hey, Todd, please find attached a web audio link on technology policy debate from the Guardian newspaper on the issues between the three parties with our UK election looming on May 6th. With regard to some feedback on the UK digital economy bill that was passed by the government earlier this month, I can confirm that the following providers have adopted significantly different strategies. TalkTalk has said it will not cooperate and will fight any request for customer details in court. O2 has also voiced disapproval but has not commented further. Virgin already issues customer details to third-party legal bodies to trace suspected piracy amongst file sharers. Sky Broadband is the only other provider to come out and actively support the bill. However, this is probably to do with the man at the top, Rupert Murdoch, who needs to maximize all revenue streams, especially from those who pirate, who impinge on his media empire. That's all for now. Regards, Craig. I'll put that link up to that in the show notes. Got a bunch of people that submitted for the Roku. I forgot to mention we're going to be giving a Roku away. Probably at the end of the trip in Albuquerque, so you got some more time to send an email, geeknews@gmail.com, put Roku in the subject line, and I'll put you in the pile to win a Roku on the last show in Albuquerque. Got an email from Dale. He says, hey, Todd, it's not geeknewscentral.com is blocked at all. I'm able to read the articles without an issue. This is from a Gov site. I can reach it directly without an issue and download without a problem. Just the links to other sites are blocked, like the link to the audio or MP3. So yeah, the audio definitely links to our CDN. So that's probably why it's been flagged. Thanks for that, Dale. Appreciate it. Got an email from Matt. He says, hey, Todd, I'm a student. I listen to a lot of tech podcasts in my spare time. None of them spend as much time as you do telling people about your life and plugging products. You also stack a lot of your personal content at the front of the show. And I have to be honest, I tune in to get tech news, not hear about how you spend $50 a month on video conferencing, screen sharing software. If you want viewership to go up, I'd sprinkle the plugs throughout and get down to the news. A la Buzz Out Loud by CNET. Buzz Out Loud by CNET, Matt, you know they're losing their main host to Leo Laporte, so I wonder if Buzz Out Loud is still going to be producing shows here come next month. And as I replied to in your email, the show is the way it is, my friend. I have been doing the same exact format for 500 and now 71 shows. I guess if I get an army of people, if 5,000 people email me before the next show and say I talk too much about my personal life at the beginning of the show, I will shorten it up for 2 minutes. I love having you as a listener. Please, just what you do is when you load the show, go to the 15-minute mark and start. That's if you want to get into the tech, just start 15 minutes in, and you'll be in the tech. You won't have to listen to me plug nothing. And that's the beauty about listening to content delayed like we do through podcast. I got an email from Andrew, very cool new keyboard from Asus. Hey, Todd, I think you mentioned on a recent show that you're going to pick up a new Logitech wireless keyboard, but I couldn't find the link. This is a different but very cool, perfect for a plane, especially American Airlines. It's the Asus keyboard PC with speakers and a good review of it. All the best, Andrew. Got an email from Jim. He says, hey, Todd, Japan will launch a space yacht. Japan's yacht propelled by solar particles that bounce off its kite-shaped sails. The country's space agency said Tuesday, a rocket carrying the international kite craft accelerated by radiation of the sun will blast off from Tangashima Space Center in Japan on May 18th. A space yacht that gets propulsion from the pressure of sunlight particles bouncing off the sail. You know what's going to happen with this, don't you? Don't you, Jim? This thing is going to get out there and it's going to get all tangled up and we're going to have a wad of kite in the air. It'll get stuck in some satellite somewhere and we'll have to go out and fish it off the satellite. That's what kites do, right? I got an email from Paul. Top Android apps. Radio Time, $3. You can listen to many radio stations around the world. App Brain, free, allows you to browse the Android app catalog. Quick Settings, allows you quick access, turn off Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, GPS. eStrong's File Explorer, good file explorer. Ostro is another popular one. I prefer eStrong's because it allows you to connect to a shared folder. Searchify, it adds more functionality to the phone's default search buttons. Acar, keep track of your car mileage and maintenance. Paul in Stafford, Texas. Hey, Paul, thanks for that app list. I got an email here from Chris. He said, almost forgot. Here's a link to my apps as an example of ability to share your currently installed apps on your Android phone. You have a link to that, so we'll do that. It's a way to share which apps you have. Android top five apps from Mike. He says, let me make sure I'm okay on time. Yes, I am. Todd, here's my top five Android apps in audio format. Oh, okay. Let's see if I can play this without collapsing the computer here. Mike, I didn't have this loaded. I'll play it on the next show. Start it. Got an email here from, waiting for it to load. Hey, Todd, Richard here from VA. Regarding doing away with broadcast TV, wouldn't make it tough in my RV where it would, regarding doing away with broadcast TV, would make it tough in my RV where I can't get satellite reception, and I would have to have one heck of a long cable while traveling. Just a thought, Richard. Hey, Richard, they sell those dish units now for RVs. Have you tried one of those? I see they fold down and they up, but are they just cost too much? Have you checked one of those out? That way you can get all the channels, my friend. Got an email from Steve. He says, hey, Todd, just like you show tonight, want to make a few comments. First, about losing your car in a parking lot. Pictures are a nice way of remembering, but there are also several apps out there with save your location car, so that later. You can get directions back to the point. I do not have an iPhone, and am not sure about a free app, but I do have a Motorola Droid, and I have a free app called Easy Parking. It does have an app ads, but it gets the job done, showing your current point, the car's point, and the arrow in the direction which I should walk. Which also brings me another question about the five apps on Android. I would have to say that the top five must apps are Pandora or Slacker, number two, Handsent, number three, QMan, it's a Netflix Q Manager, Sesmic, Twitter app, five, Dolphin Browser, better web browser, and oh, so many more. Todd, best of all, they're free. There's some that you can get premium versions, but for now, the free versions work for me. One other app that I got to tell you is called Personal Assistant. A free version can only control 10 accounts. Full version is $7, but this app, you can see your bank account information, credit card purchases, reminders when bills are due, travel itineraries, Netflix, etc. It's a handy app to have to see the last few purchases, etc. You can access more at pageones.com. I know you don't like adverts, and I have no affiliation with the company, but I do love the service they provide. Out of all the apps I have on my Droid, this is the only one I bought premium version of. Thanks for another great show, and keep up the great work. And Steve is out of Montana. Andrew, have not had time to really check out the iPad gallery pouches yet, and I have some more links here from him. I think I've got everything. That's it. All right. Let me look, make sure that I have... I think I read this one already. So maybe I didn't. It's a long one, though, from Ken. I think I read this one already. If I missed it, Ken, I apologize. Okay, whew, out of breath. I need a drink of water. ready to head out, folks. I'm ready to go home, and even if it's going to be only 20 hours on deck, be able to at least wash clothes, get the kids squared away, get my wife a new phone, get her iPhone un-jailbroke or unfreeze or locked or boxed or whatever they call it when it's locked up again, and then get her pictures back and all of her contacts out so she's not in a panic frenzy while I'm gone for the next week in Albuquerque. But if you have comments on tonight's shows, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. And my pleasure to bring you the show here. Look forward to bringing you the next show out of Albuquerque. And until then, everyone take care and aloha.